Welcome to Big Blue Hits Friday right here on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess. I am John Schmelk. As always on Fridays, we are joined by Lance Medel. Lance, how are you?
Doing very well, John.
And the Giants, they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but a big game against the best team in the NFC on Sunday.
A statement game. We're talking about a team that boasts the number one defense in the NFC, a team that is probably headed towards the number one overall seed in the NFC. If there's any opportunity to play up, this would be this weekend.
All right, let's go to our Adorama News of the Day. And it has something to do with the injury report. Jason Pierre-Paul will miss yet another game with that shoulder injury, Lance.
And JPP has been out because of this lingering injury for weeks. The bottom line is he keeps claiming that he may eventually get back to full form so that he could go out there. But you figure at this point with them mathematically out of it, why go out there and try to re-aggravate the injury? Might as well shut it down, get ready for the offseason so you're fully healthy next year.
And JPP made the point that next year he's going to have a great offseason, and he'll be ready to go next year. Let's go to the rest of the injury report as the Giants get ready to take on the Seattle Seahawks. The Giants, Lance, are getting a little bit healthier, but they still have some injury concerns coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, they have a few injuries within the secondary. Corey Webster, obviously, once again, is out. Tremaine McBride's nursing an injury, but he should be set to go and rotate with Jayron Hosley. And you take a look at some of the other guys, Cooper Taylor, who aggravated an injury against the Chargers, and Colin Jenkins and Terrell Thomas will likely go. They just have had to get through the course of this week of practice.
And Colin Jenkins is the big one. He's obviously been an excellent player for the Giants all year long. Now, the Giants, as we mentioned, last week at that loss to the Chargers, were mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. But according to Andre Brown, that doesn't mean there still isn't a lot to play for.
What you put on tape is what, you know, eventually can, you know, set up your next job. So that's what you're going to have to go out there and do. Just go out there and make sure you put your best foot forward and make plays and show that you belong here.
There are more than 20 players on this Giants roster that will be free agents after the season. Lance, these last three games, guys around the league and on the Giants and their front office will be looking at this tape and seeing how these guys play.
This is what I like to call a show-me stretch these last three games. Players are showing the front office. They're showing the rest of the league whether or not they're worthy of getting a new contract. And obviously, it's an opportunity for them to show the fans that they're still willing to go out there and play hard. And you mentioned of those 20 guys who are going to be able to test the market, 14 are unrestricted. So this roster is bound to change heading into the offseason, which means guys need to be fighting for their jobs.
And it's also an opportunity for guys that are young on this roster to show the coaches that, heck, maybe he can be a starter next year. And one of those guys is James Brewer, who's gotten some valuable experience at left guard.
James Brewer now in year three. He's had experience over the last 2 years, John, but he has not met expectations. So he's a borderline guy that if he really wants to solidify a role in the seasons upcoming, he needs to make a statement over the next few games. And clearly, he struggled in terms of run protection and pass protection. So this is a golden opportunity for him to improve as an individual.
And as a unit, the offense of line has struggled at times this year protecting their quarterback Eli Manning. He talked to the media about why he has had some protection problems this year.
You know, every sack could be different, you know, and you can't just say, oh, it's the offensive line. That's not always the case. It's running backs, it's receivers getting open, it's, you know, me setting the right protections and doing those things. So, you know, I think it's just there's a combination of a number of things, but hopefully we can these last few games, you know, get back to eliminating those and getting the ball out quickly and but also have some chances to get the ball down the field.
And if you want to see really when the downfall of this offense began, to me at least, Lance, you have to go back to that Carolina game where every time Eli Manning went back to throw, he had no time. And since that game, this offense has never been able to find its rhythm.
That was one of Will Beatty's roughest performances thus far this season, aside from that Redskins game. And since then, John, they played a game of musical chairs. And when you don't have continuity and consistency on the O-line, your quarterback is going to struggle. And as we see with the video, he's seen his fair share of pressure. Manning's been sacked a career-high 33 23 times. Last season, 19 times. That was the lowest total in the NFL. That's a huge disparity.
Now, the Giants are fortunate that Eli Manning is very durable. He's managed to stay in the game, not miss any time. The Giants' backup quarterback is Curtis Painter. Their third-string quarterback is rookie fourth-rounder Ryan Nassib. Now, the media talked to Nassib in the locker room this week and asked him whether or not he would like a chance to at least be the backup to Eli Manning at some point before the season is over.
You always want to, be a snap away from playing, but, right now it's, kind of, I understand my role in the team, to perform on scout and do what I have to do in the classroom, but, just sitting back and learning, and, it's been a great experience so far.
The Giants drafted Ryan Nassib in the fourth round. In fact, they traded up to get him, and they're treating him like a developmental quarterback. Lance, he's run the scout team on Friday practices and Thursday practices, so he's kind of played the role of those other quarterbacks around the league. I know the team is pretty happy with the amount of teamwork he's shown over the course of the season.
And that's what you have to do as a young quarterback, John. You need to pay your dues. You need to show and prove to the coaching staff that you're familiar with this system, you can digest the system, and if need be, you can go out there and prove that you belong on this roster. But at the end of the day, Eli Manning should play these final three games because he needs to also improve as an individual because his numbers have been down this season.
And the coaches have been happy with the improvement in hard work Ryan Nassib has shown in practice. And that brings us to our Twitter question. This comes from one of our favorite watchers, Bam Bam Bigano. Should the Giants see what they have in Ryan Nassib before the season is over, Lance?
Well, it gets back to what I just alluded to. It's fine to look at what Ryan Nassib could do in practice and see what he can do in terms of running the scout team, but you want to be able to build on some momentum heading into next season. Eli Manning has to right the ship. He's not going to do that by watching from the sideline.
And quite frankly, you put a guy like Nassib out there when he's not ready against a defense like the Seahawks, you're going to hurt the kid more than you're going to help him.
Plus, with a shaky offensive line, it's a big risk to throw a rookie out there.
Plenty more to come in today's show. Make sure you stay tuned after this quick commercial break. You're watching Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan?
Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants! There you go.
Back on Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess, John Schmuck, Lance Meadow with you. And Lance, 11-2 Seattle Seahawks. This is going to be a fun day at the stadium to maybe, frankly, see one of the teams that might be back here in February.
Seahawks are a well-balanced team. When you look at all three facets of a football team, John, I don't think anyone can compare to the Seahawks. They can do it on offense, they can do it on defense, and they have a very game-changing type of special teams, whether it be on punt or kickoff return. So the Giants are up for an absolute huge challenge this weekend.
And John Beeson is excited for the challenge, and he really wants that victory.
It'd be a, a signature win for the season, I think. You go up against a great team, the number one seed if the playoffs were today. And because you don't have those playoff hopes, hopefully you can go out and win the game. And it'd be a good end to a season.
And this brings us to our Twitter question from NYG Men for Life, our guy Victor in Texas. Is there such a thing as building momentum for next year, Lance, with this game and the two following?
Well, I think there's a thing of building momentum from an individual perspective. I don't know from a team perspective, because remember, they beat up the Eagles, if you recall, to end last season. That didn't necessarily carry over into this season, so you can only take away so much. Plus, the personnel is bound to change, because we mentioned there's a lot of free agents on this team.
No doubt about it, but can you take a team like the Panthers Sixers from last year, for example. As an example, the team that had a rough year, but they played well down the stretch, specifically their quarterback Cam Newton, and that seems to have carried into this season.
Well, then it falls on Eli Manning, John. I think as an individual, he can show some improvement over the last couple of games. With Cam, remember, they brought in a new offensive coordinator, and they surrounded him with some new talent. So there were a lot of different factors why Carolina was able to turn things around. That may be in play with the Giants, depending on the personnel changes.
And you'd also like to see the Giants' defense get back to the type of football that they played during that winning streak in the middle of the season. Last week, they had trouble on defense, even stopping the run, something they've been good at all year long. Justin Tuck tells us why.
I don't think we tackled well. I think that was the biggest thing. We had guys in the right gaps, and, you know, you got a smaller running back. It's hard to see behind O linemen. So I don't know what the case is. But we didn't tackle well. So, you know, moving forward, obviously that's going to be important going on this week because Marshawn and Terman is guys that, you know, make guys miss tackles. So we got to get back to the fundamentals of football and tackle well first.
Look at the numbers. The Chargers ran for over 140 yards last week, Lance. Ryan Matthews, the first running back to go for more than 100 yards against the Giants since week 3 when D'Angelo Williams did it.
They've been very stingy against the run, and they've gone up against every top 10 running back you can name in this league. They've answered the call, but they did struggle against the San Diego Chargers. Not so much against Ryan Matthews, John, who didn't have a great yardage per carry, but Danny Woodhead, who had nearly 6 yards per carry on the ground. And we were talking about him last week, a dual threat. They were not very good in terms of their gap assignments last week.
And a guy that's perhaps the polar opposite of Danny Woodhead will be the Giants' top target this week. That's Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch. Let's go back to Justin Tuck once again. He's very impressed with what he sees from Marshawn Lynch.
He's a running back that gives more to pounding than taking it. That scheme really fits him well. It's a constant that you see him falling forward, breaking tackles. You really don't see him getting, you know, hit for negative yardage. So that's going to keep the sticks in their favor. And plus, you know, he's one of those backs that when he does break it, he can take it to the house.
And Marshawn Lynch, one of the top running backs in the league, already has 1,000 yards rushing this year, Lance. And everything the Seahawks do begins with the running game, and the running game is all about this guy.
They average about 140 yards on the ground, so that is basically an indication that they are looking to set the tempo on the ground. They have about 32 carries per contest. That ranks them first in the league. It's a balanced offense, but like you said, John, it starts on the ground so that Russell Wilson can then set up the play-action fake off of the run. And Lynch is the type of guy, he's in beast mode all the time. When you give him an angle, he will take full advantage of it.
He'll break tackles and turn those into long runs. How about this? The Bills drafted Lynch in the first round. Do you recall what they got when they traded Marshawn Lynch to Seattle Seahawks? A little trivia for Lance Meadow.
Well, I can't tell you exactly what they got in return, but I can tell you his value wasn't very high at
that
time.
It was a fourth-round pick and an additional conditional pick. And it just shows you, when you put the guy in the right system, how well he can perform.
And this system is a perfect fit because he has a very good offensive line playing in front of him. Guys have long arms. They've got size, so they can build some holes and open things up. Plus, Russell Wilson is the perfect complement for a guy like Lynch because he also likes to run. So you also need to be aware of what the quarterback's going to do as well as what Lynch is going to do.
More than 30% of Russell Wilson's passes this year have come off of play action. So everything begins with that running attack. And that gets back to one of their really strong weapons in Seattle. They have one of the best time of possession offenses in football. They're experts in those drives of 10-plus yards, whether they score or not. One of the leaders in the league in that category.
And San Diego was very good in that category, too. And what happened last week, John, the Chargers had the ball for 13 more minutes than the Giants. So the Seahawks love to milk the clock. Why? Because they can run the football. Teams that can do that well are going to win the battle in time of possession.
We will delve more into the Seattle defense and the Seattle offense. But first, let's take a look and watch Carl Banks as he breaks down the Seahawks in this week's edition of Strategy.
Let's take a look at the Seattle Seahawks running game. And the key to that running game is Marshawn Lynch. Why is he the key? Because he has dual vision. He goes here, he goes here, he goes there. Every guy on the defensive front, especially your linebacker and your end of the line guys, will have to be very disciplined. Here's why, and I'll show you. You've got a linebacker and a defensive end. I'll run it slow. Your linebacker has to have tempo. What is tempo? Tempo is he's got to stay eye to eye with this running back. He cannot overrun the play, because when it comes back and you got a quarterback coming out, it turns into a big play. Now, I'll run it slow so you can see. Watch the tempo of your inside linebacker. He gets too far into the line of scrimmage, I'll freeze it. Right here, as Marshawn Lynch goes here, you've got a defensive end watching the quarterback and a linebacker who's too far in who can't come back out. So gap control and tempo is very important. Let's take a look at Seattle's defense. They don't rush a lot of guys. Sometimes they'll rush four, occasionally five. But the key is you cannot be outworked by their interior linemen. Let's take a look here in spot shadow right here. You've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven guys to block four. Let's see what happens. Keep an eye on your defensive end. This is a three-man rush, and they're relentless to get to the quarterback. So you have to maintain your block in order for the offense to run efficiently. They don't bring a lot of guys. They just outwork their opponent.
We're back on Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. Lance Meadow and John Schmelk. Carl Banks breaking down that Seattle Seahawks offense and defense. And really, everything they do, Lance, starts up front.
It does. They love to set the tone on the ground, and therefore they feed off of that. And the other thing to note about Marshawn Lynch, keep in mind, we talked about how deadly he is as a running back. He has 27 receptions on the season. They utilize him a lot in the passing game as well.
And it's amazing how well their offensive line has played this year. Both their starting tackles have missed significant time. Russell Okung, a former first-round pick, missed eight games, was on that designated-to-return injured reserve list. But, boy, they've done a very good job this year, despite the fact they have guys moving around. By the way, Pro Bowl center Max Unger is hurt. He will play through it, looks like, this week. But, you know, they have a lot of banged-up guys in that line.
And Breno Giacomini on the right side at the other tackle spot has also been plagued by injuries. So they've been dealing it, whether it be on the left side, whether it be on the right side. But once again, remember, they went up against San Diego last week, John. That was another team that was banged up on the offensive line. They've still done a very good job protecting their quarterback.
And John Beeson, the Giants' middle linebacker, has done a lot of film work on that offensive line this week in the meeting room.
You know, big zone team. You know, guys that give extra effort, they're going to finish the play. They're going to play through the whistle. You know, they've been banged up. They've been able to rotate guys, and they've all seemed to kind of step up and you know, keep it going. So, you know, veteran group, but at the same time, they play well together.
And Justin Tuck, Lance, has gotten six sacks in his last two games. He's going to try to get back on the board, make it three straight games with a sack.
He's been the one sign of consistency regarding this pass rush, John. They've been waiting for this since week one. Where has it been? Justin Tuck finally taking advantage of some of the coverages and the fact that he's been able to win some of his individual battles. They'd like Mathias Kiwanuka to meet him about halfway. He led the team in sacks in the early goings, but since then has been relatively quiet.
He'll be going up against Giacomini on the right side of that offensive line. Now, Lance, they also get some help, the Seattle offensive line, from their quarterback, Russell Wilson. He's a great thrower. We know that. But he also uses his legs to help avoid that pass rush.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is the typical dual-threat quarterback, and they faced a lot of dual-threat quarterbacks this season, and they've had some trouble. You go back to Michael Vick, who ran wild on them before he got hurt. So gap control is obviously a big key here, and Russell Wilson seems like he's so comfortable, regardless, even if he faces pressure. He'll run to the sideline. He'll throw just as accurately running to the sideline as he is as a pocket passer.
458 rushing yards, and you're right, the word is poise. That's the word Tom Coughlin used a lot this week when talking about Russell Wilson. And so do the Giants players in the locker room. Like Antrell Roll, he said Russell Wilson looks nothing like a second-year pro.
You know, he's very very much beyond his time. You know, a very mature individual. You know, you can just tell just by, you know, his recognition in defense, you know, his awareness of a defense. You know, his decision making. So, I mean, he's definitely an elite type of guy.
And let's go to our Twitter question. This one from at NFLNYG43. Is Russell Wilson Lance the best quarterback from last year's draft class?
Well, you look at the other two quarterbacks in his class, RG3 and Andrew Luck. RG3, because of the injury, has taken a step back. And Andrew Luck has done well, but he struggled at times because of injuries around him. So in the department of consistency, I give Russell Wilson a huge edge. You look at his numbers in 2012 compared to 2013, they're basically the same.
And the big hit coming on him, coming out of the draft class, was his height. But he really hasn't had a lot of problems getting balls batted down the line of scrimmage. He's been okay with that. And he's just as good in the pocket as he is outside the pocket. He can make all the throws, and he's accurate.
Well, that's why I think he's using his height to his advantage. There's plenty of other small quarterbacks in this league. Drew Brees, for example. Last time I checked, he hasn't had trouble throwing the deep ball as well, and he's had a lot of big guys in his face. So Wilson is coming from that branch where he's been able to be very successful.
Lance Bendel sticking up for the little guy. Who would have thought it?
Hey, I'm one of them. I got to look out for them.
And he has some weapons to throw the ball to, too. Golden Tate is number one wide receiver.
Golden Tate is the top receiver in that group. They have a lot of guys that they can turn to, similar to the San Diego Chargers, as Russell Wilson loves to spread the wealth like Rivers does. And you'll see that he'll move right, he'll move left. Based on the video, Jermaine Kearse is their deep threat. They have Doug Baldwin out of the slot. Multiple options that they can turn to.
And Golden Tate is number one guy. Makes some big plays, good run after the catch. He will do some special teams work for them as well. They also, Lance, have a good two-way tight end, Zach Miller, who's not the greatest athlete, doesn't have all the numbers, but this guy can run, he can block, and he can also do some damage in the run game.
He's definitely a dual threat, and a lot of teams across the NFL, John, it's a copycat league, so they're utilizing two tight end sets, and that's why Luke Wilson, the younger of the two, has also flourished recently, coming off a big game against the Niners. He had three catches for 70 yards and a touchdown, so they have a nice balance going between both of those options.
Yeah, Wilson, more that athletic receiving tight end. He had a 40-yard touchdown catch last week in that game. One more guy we want to talk about, that's Doug Baldwin. He's that guy in the slot who's that classic, and we saw a guy like this early in the year, Cole Beasley, who's quick, possession receiver, catches a lot of first down passes. He's a safety blanket.
A security blanket indeed for a guy like Russell Wilson, because if the deep ball's not working for him, and Russell Wilson is very accurate with passes over 20 yards this season, about 49%, he'll look for Doug Baldwin, and they use him on the outside as well as in the slot. They'll move him around.
Plenty more to come on today's show. We've talked about the offense. Well, the strength of the Seahawks is really their defense. We will tackle that next on Big Blue Hits, fueled by Hess on Giants.com. Stick with us.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified, authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed, with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
We're back on Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Lance Mehta with you. And Lance, you touched on the offense. The Seahawks defense ranked number one in the NFL.
And they are number one against the pass. That's where it starts, John. This secondary is very physical, very stingy against quarterbacks. Quarterbacks actually have the lowest passer rating against this Seahawks defense. So if you can't solve the pass, the best option is to try to target them on the ground. But overall, this is a very strong Seahawks defensive unit.
And they're very, very physical. Their run defense, we'll talk about a little bit later. That maybe is their one weakness. But the one thing they also do extremely well, Lance, is be physical all over the field. They will punish you all game long.
And it starts with Richard Sherman, John. He's very physical at the line of scrimmage because of the press coverage type of style that they play. And he'll get into the minds of the opposition. He can fluster you. He can take you out of the game. That's why the Giants wide receivers really need to see how the officials are going to call this game on Sunday. And that will determine what type of strategy they employ.
Eli Manning has been in the film room all week getting ready for this game. He's watched the tape. And he knows the Giants can't make any mistakes that this Seattle Seahawks defense can take advantage of.
They don't make many mistakes. They play fast. They do everything pretty well. They do a good job getting a pass rush. A lot of times just bringing four guys and mixing some pressure. They play a lot of man-to-man, kind of on the outside with their corners and are physical with them. So, they have a good scheme, and we'll have some things to hopefully give us some chances to make some plays and run our offense efficiently. But everybody's gonna have to do their assignments very well.
And we'll get to that secondary in a second, but let's start up front, Lance, because that's where everything starts in the NFL. They run your 4-3 defense, but they rotate a lot of guys in and out. They have big guys that stop the run. Then they bring in those pass rushers that get after the quarterback, 32 sacks this year.
Yeah, they have designated pass rushers, guys that they give the green light to, and they say, come in, get after the quarterback. Cliff Averill, one of the guys, they brought him over from Detroit. He leads the way with 7.5 sacks. Then you're talking about a guy like Chris Clemens, Michael Bennett, who came over from the Bucs, who's the brother of former Giant Martellus Bennett. It's not just a one-man show. He'll give the green light, Pete Carroll and company, to just about anybody, and they've executed on just about every level.
They will move a lot of defensive linemen around. They will blitz a lot. What does that do, though? It opens up some holes in the running game where they have struggled, relatively speaking, giving up about 111 yards per game, which is in the middle of the league in the NFL rankings.
And Frank Gore last week took full advantage of that. As a team, the Niners had over 160 yards on the ground, and that was a reason why they were able to get Phil Dawson in position for that game-winning field goal. So you're 100% right, John. If you're going to beat this team, you want to do it with time of possession, and the way you do that, you beat them up on the ground.
They've given up more than 40 runs of 10 or more yards. That's sixth worst in the NFL. Now, they do get some help from the safety position in the running game, mostly from Cam Chancellor, who looks an awful lot like a linebacker, doesn't he?
All of their safeties look like linebackers. These guys are very aggressive, getting to the line of scrimmage, even blitzing at times, and also tremendous in coverage. They're very physical, and it speaks volumes of how the Seahawks have constructed their team, because 8 of their 11 starters were drafted in the 3rd through the 6th round. Some of them are even undrafted, and the fact that this is the number one defense overall, that's how you want to build a team.
And Cam Chancellor, one of those guys, again, the size of a linebacker, but he can also cover tight ends and running backs man-on-man. Very impressive. Just as impressive as his running mate at safety, that's Earl Thomas. Now, he was a first-round pick, and boy, it's been well worth it. 4 picks this year, one of the best cover safeties in the NFL.
He's lived up to expectations and then some. Very scary with what he could do because of his versatility. Great against the run, great in coverage. And even though they lost a guy like Brandon Browner, who plays opposite Richard Sherman, the reason why the Legion of Boom, as they like to call themselves, that secondary, has played so consistently is because a guy like Earl Thomas. He stayed healthy. He's the key communicator. He's kept everybody on the same page.
And those safeties provide a safety blanket for those Seattle Seahawks cornerbacks, who Eli Manning and Victor Cruz are going to have to deal with this week. They are very, very physical.
It's going to be a challenge. We understand they're very physical, and they like to play one-on-one coverage on the outside, and it's something that we're excited about. We're excited about facing that. We're excited about having our own personal challenges between ourselves and their corners and doing some good things against us. So hopefully we'll come ready to play and ready to do some things against that.
Our receivers have to be physical with him, he's gonna hold and grab and use everything, and so we're gonna have to do a great job of beating that press man coverage, and he plays the ball very well in the air on the go route, so he's a good player, but I think we'll have some routes and some different things to try to take advantage of his style of play.
And that brings us to our final Twitter question of the day, Lance, and it revolves around that Seattle Seahawks secondary. Is Richard Sherman the best cornerback in the league? That's from @GeorgiaSteven.
He's the most opportunistic corner in the league because he's very good. He's a ball hawk. He has 4 interceptions. They have 17 as a team. He's a big reason why. Not the most athletic guy, but because of his length, because of his size, because of his aggressiveness, he makes up for some of the other areas that he's not as strong. You have Joe Hayden with the Cleveland Browns, who I would put up there as one of the top corners. Sherman's in the conversation, and you can't overlook him.
And he makes sure people know that he thinks he's one of the top corners in the league as well. Yap, 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 yap.
Very talkative in terms of the secondary. And Victor Cruz, who has seen his fair share of double teams, John, if there's any wide receiver on this team that knows what it's like to be physical with the opposition, it's going to be Cruz. That means other guys are going to have to make plays because Cruz is probably going to see his fair share of attention again.
And, Lance, you mentioned earlier how the referees call this game will be important. The Seattle Seahawks lead the league in defensive pass interference penalties, a lot of legal contact, defensive holding as well. And Sherman is one of those guys that's extremely physical.
They have 43 penalties on defense alone. They have penalties all along this team, whether it be on offense or defense. But you're right. If the officials are giving them leeway, you've got to adjust to that. If they're not giving them leeway, perhaps that plays right into your effort in terms of what you can execute on offense.
Lance, enjoy the game on Sunday.
Looking forward to
it. And if you go to the game on Sunday, make sure you bring an unused toy. Drop them off to the Marines outside the stadium. It's Touchdown for Tots at MetLife Stadium. It's a great cause. Help out this holiday season. And that's all the time we have for Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Have a good one.